This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. The Ministry of Tourism has marked 2015 as the year of festivals, and though we are winding down the year, the festival organizers have not. This weekend in Melaka is the state's Art and Performance Festival, and there's an international dance festival coming up in the Damansara Performing Arts Centre. Next weekend at the Temple of Fine Arts, we'll see the Shantanan Festival of the Arts, and the people behind this event are being represented by Kuma Kategesu and Prakash Kandasamy, the usual suspects from the organization. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Lena.
Good afternoon.
So does KL really need another arts festival? Let's start with that.
If you're asking me, and I say yes, simply because there's that much demand for arts in Malaysia. I think more and more people are waking up to the fact that arts is an integral part of their lives and helps them in many of the other things they do in their career, in their studies and so on. And most of the festivals that have been held this year have been very well attended, so that itself is an indication.
And what is it that separates this Festival of Arts from the other arts festivals that will be happening? I mean, we have a very crowded end-of-year season for some reason.
Well, Shantanan Festival of Arts is hosted by the Temple of Fine Arts. We are essentially an Indian organization, so we appeal to generally the Indian sector. But this particular festival is very diverse. It has acts from the various diaspora, from the various genres included in the festival. And it's to open the eyes of the Indian community in general, who would make up the majority of the audience. But also, several models in this festival are fairly unique. Number one, the way we admit people to the festival is on a pay-as-you-wish basis, which is, you know, so there's no such thing as a ticket. That's something I think unheard of in this country. And also, it's a dance and music festival. It combines modern and traditional. It combines East and West. So you see a very eclectic blend of arts acts in this festival, as opposed to others.
I think also is reflective of the Temple of Fine Arts. The founder of Temple of Fine Arts, which this festival is named after, Shantanan, he's actually Swami Shantanan Saraswati, our founder of the TFA. And I think he had a very broad view of the arts. I think he never just... anything beautiful from any culture was always... We were exposed to it as we were young and growing up. And I think this festival is actually trying to emulate that feeling which he started off and tried to make it bigger, because today the arts is a big thing. It's not in 30 years ago when we started, you know, you're doing the arts, it was...
Don't reveal your age, Prakash.
No, that was like when I was not even born 30 years ago.
I can vouch for that. I'm looking at both of you, you know, people
Thank
can't
you,
see, but...
Thanks. Thanks, Kumar.
What would you describe, you know, the mission of the festival as? What is its mission?
It's to keep the arts alive. It's to keep the arts relevant. And again, aimed, I think, specifically for our youth, and that doesn't include Prakash. It's to show them the beauty of the arts from the traditional days, as well as what it has evolved to today, not separating the essence of the arts and still having some purity in the arts, but also how it can engage the youth today with many interesting elements.
Considering that it's the second edition, you know, with the inaugural festival under your belts last year, what have you learned? You know, what are the things that you're like, okay, we have to remember this for next year?
Okay, we were very ambitious last year. We attacked it with a lot of gusto. We did a six-day festival last year. And then I think along the way we realized that 6 days may not be very efficient from the audience point of view, as well as to organize it. You know, the resource that you need is tremendous. So we have streamlined it now to a three-day festival, but trying to keep the same elements inside. We have the showcases, we have the music acts, the dance acts, we have the feature performances and the workshops. But it's now a three-day festival. It's tighter. people don't have to take leave over weekdays to come and attend this festival. It is over a weekend. So it's much more friendly that way. A lot of the processes in terms of admission, security, seating arrangements and so on have been streamlined a little bit more this year. So we hope to have a much smoother festival to the audience taste.
And how do you keep a festival fresh? You know, when you're trying to have all these different elements, different performances, you know, how do you make sure that what you're having is, you know, new, fresh, exciting?
It's a good question. I think what we see this year, a lot of things are things which Malaysians haven't seen very much. For instance, the Qawwali, which is a traditional Pakistani Muslim, devotional devotional singing, which is very musical. And if you don't even have to understand the lyrics, many of it are Sufi based, which are actually very beautiful, which can apply to anyone. Even if you don't know, the spirit with which they sing, that's very moving. And I think that's something Malaysians have never seen, or very rarely have seen. I think we had one earlier this year somewhere, I think.
Yes, arranged by Pusaka.
That's right, yeah. So it's something interesting. That's something fresh, I think. And then you have like capoeira, which is a martial art, which I think many people don't know. It's very graceful as a martial art. That is, there are a few elements like this, which are like, what else, Kumar?
Well, again, you see, the kind of audiences that TFA normally attracts would not be very, would not have had much exposure to jazz music, for example. And for this year, we have Michael Veerappan and Julian Chan doing a saxophone piano duet, which is going to be fresh for the kind of audiences that we have. Likewise, we have the Oriental Odyssey, a Yang Qing player, Joyati Biswas, along with her group of traditional Chinese artists, presenting something in the festival. Again, not many people in general really go and watch a traditional Chinese ensemble like this. So I think the challenge is to keep delivering fresh and exciting acts, new acts that people don't see very often, as opposed to the traditional Bharatanatyam and so on.
I also think that a question Suning asked me earlier, like what is so different? I mean, I think why is it so different? He actually asked me, why are all the acts so disparate from each other? And I think the main thing is that we're all common in one factor, that they're all traditional arts. Of course, there's some modern art as well, but the traditional arts are actually Indians who are in Malaysia, we come to Temple of Fine Arts, oh, we're going to watch a Bharatanatyam or an Odyssey or a sitar performance. We don't think about it as other things. And they're all traditions. And I think all the traditions have a beauty. So I think that is another aspect from this, which is going to be fresh, which is new.
Absolutely, yeah.
So when you're making these new additions, you know, to the core of what TFA does, you know, how do you make sure that the festival holds on to its character? Because, you know, for example, people who show up in the first year, they might be expecting a certain thing and they think, okay, I'll come next year. Mm-hmm. And then next year, suddenly it's like capoeira.
You know,
how do you make sure that what you add on continues to add to the character, not take away from?
I think it's a growing process. I think it's a work in progress.
It's true. And also, I think it's, you know, that's the beauty of the name Shantanand and the beauty of the Temple of Fine Arts. Right from day one, we have been absolutely diverse in what we do. In the 80s, we presented a dance drama entitled Masuri. So it was presented by a bunch of students who were learning Bharatanatyam and Odissi at that time. But they related the story to the legend of Masuri. And likewise, we have done Swan Lake, we have done
Lady White Snake, Chinese
the Butterfly Lovers, and so on. So it's something that's fairly consistent with what we do in TFA to bring diversity to society. And Swamiji, Swami Shantanand, was that sort of a person. He appealed to across the ethnic divide. He appealed to across the
age
and,
as well.
Yeah, and so I think the different kinds of acts, is the element of surprise is very much a part of the festival itself.
I'm speaking today with Kumar Kathigesu and Prakash Kandasamy from the Temple of Fine Arts. We're discussing the Shantanand Festival of Arts 2015. We've kind of been covering, you know, why the festival, what made you come up with it. And up next, we'll talk about a little bit more about the featured acts. You are listening today to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Dear, where should we go for a honeymoon?
Australia! Quokka selfies at Rottnest Island, seal encounters on Kangaroo Island, breakfast with koalas and the world's smallest penguin!
And visit vineyards, enjoy delicious produce, climb the Sydney Harbour Bridge or tour Melbourne by tram!
That's a lot! Who can help us plan?
CIT has a wide range of Aussie packages which can be customised to our needs. Visit www.cit.travel or call 03-2091-9988 to speak with their Aussie specialist to plan our customised Australian holiday. Let's visit Australia with CIT today!
Here is what you missed on the morning run.
Now, when you look at mobile penetration rate, right, Indonesia has about 120%, Malaysia has about 140%. I guess if it's over 100%, does that mean that one person may have two phones or something like that?
Yeah. So we have an average of 1.5 phones each year.
So between the three of us, someone has two phones.
Okay,
right?
So because that sounds a little bit more normal than me having just half a phone with one full phone with me.
That's right.
No, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
You never know what's in store tomorrow. The Morning Run, weekday 6 to 10 a.m. Barcelona, Fiorentina, Manchester United, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lee Chui Lin. I am joined in the studio today by Kumar Kathigesu and Prakash Kandasamy from the Temple of Fine Arts. We are discussing the upcoming Shantanan Festival of Arts 2015. And so we've talked about the diverse lineup. You've mentioned quite a few names, you know, quite a few different forms of art from quite a few different continents, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
What are the key features in this year's festival?
Well, we begin the festival on the 4th of December with a Qawwali performance from Pakistan, as Prakash has mentioned. This is Farid Ayaz and Abu Muhammad Qawwal. They are one of the most prominent Qawwali singers of the world, and that's going to be a very exciting beginning to the festival. We also have invited the Philippines Ballet Theatre. This is, again, in line with Malaysia's chairmanship of ASEAN for this year. So, Philippines Ballet Theatre is perhaps, arguably, one of the most senior ballet theatre schools of this region. And they will be performing excerpts of their hit production, The Nutcracker. So, that's, again, something we're looking forward to open the first day of the festival. On the second day, we have a very prominent Odissi dancer, an Odissi dance troupe from India. The group is called Surgeon, and it's headed by Pandit Ratikant Mohapatra, who's again perhaps the legend of Odissi currently, and he and his group are coming down for that. We have our very own Rhythm in Bronze from Malaysia. Now, they are Gamelan group, of course. I think they do need very little introduction. They are award-winning group, and we're very happy to put them on stage as a feature act. And then on the closing night of the festival, 6th of December, we have the world-famous violin duo, Ganesh and Kumaresh. They play South Indian violin, but they are lightning quick. They are full of charisma, full of energy on stage. So they will be doing the feature presentation on the last day. And to end it, we have the Temple of Fine Arts' own production, Neo Margam, which is a contemporary twist to Bharatanatyam, a traditional dance performance, but with a twist. And that will be the finale for the festival.
Looking at all these groups, what made you select them? You know, what interested you in bringing these specific people down to the festival?
Again, we've been sitting together from January, you know, from pretty much from when the previous festival ended, and analysing what would appeal to the audiences and what can be a little bit different from what we brought in last year. we had a very long list. And then we had people who applied for the festival as well, which is something that we took into consideration and looked at and balanced out. And what it has evolved to is perhaps the most diverse lineup that we could think of. We wanted purity. We wanted to see experts on stage. We wanted to see the best of the best. At the same time, we wanted the diversity and to show differences. And I think we have achieved that.
One part of, you know, trying to keep the arts relevant or trying to keep the arts alive is, of course, also trying to foster new talent, you know, hoping mm-hmm. that people might come and see something and be inspired and want to be a part of it. How do you see this festival perhaps fostering more local acts, you know, in the hope that someday when you're looking for the best of this or the best of that, you might not have to go abroad, but you might be able to, you know, pluck them from around our states?
Well, again, that's part of our aim in this festival, to put a local act alongside a foreign act and to show the audiences that that there is very little difference between local and foreign. To me personally, the local, the dance showcases and the music showcases are perhaps the most exciting part of this festival, where we see our fellow artists coming together, performing short performances on a stage together. The idea is for audiences to become more aware that we have talent right here in Malaysia. We have quality right here in Malaysia. So this is one of our aims, and I hope we can achieve this.
I think also last year, I remember, we did a workshop on rhythms and Indian rhythms, and I think some of them turned up for class this year. They started wanting to learn. I think mm-hmm. a few of them joined some of the classes. And I think they were excited just from the workshop. And so I think that is already an indication of how this festival has actually helped to grow the interest, you know.
Exactly.
And as you mentioned rhythm, Prakash, what are the different percussive elements in this year's festival that excite you or that you're looking forward to?
Okay. I know I'm a tabla player, but the qawwali, it is rhythmic as well as it's melodic. And that's something I'm really looking forward to. I'm really excited about that. I don't want to do anything else on that day. Mm-hmm. But I am performing on that day with Samuel Das. Apart from that, there is the no-noise percussion, which last year performed along with us at Hands Percussion's
Kaleidoscope
program at KLPAC. And in fact, I told Kumar at that time, can we get them for last year itself? But it was too late because we already had the program. They are actually world-class. I mean, I would like to say that they're world-class because when I saw them, it was entertaining, it was virtuosic, it had all the elements, and they were local. They were all local boys, Malay boys.
They're ex-UITM students,
I believe. And I was flawed. I mean, I say, wow, we got this kind of talent. And I've seen Stomp in the UK. It's okay, it's not an original idea. It's based on Stomp, but it's got a lot of local element in it, and I think that's how ideas evolve and change.
But they've rehearsed it to perfection.
Perfection. I mean, it's using an astro dish even as a drum. That is amazing.
That's right.
You know,
we've talked, you know, about some of the long-term goals. You know, about some of the aims. So overall, then, what direction does TFA and this Festival of Arts hope to take in the long term? If you know, continue to carry it forward year on year and make this annual.
Well, of course, I mean, anyone will tell you that their aim is to make it a truly world-class festival. We hope to attract audiences from around the world for the festival itself over time. You know, if we keep doing it consistently in the same part of the year and the reputation grows, of course, that will be one. But a more intrinsic goal, I think, is to promote this model of pay-as-you-wish where audiences start realizing the quality of the act and give as their heart allows, as their wallets allow, but also give according to the value. Yeah. It's very hard today to convince an audience of the value of Michael Veerappan and Julian Chan or No Noise or Joyati Biswas or whoever it may be. But as we do more, and if, you know, I truly believe that audiences can be convinced of our sincerity. Our fellow artists are coming together to make this project a success. And all that dedication and hard work, I think will convince people over time that there is a very strong value in this art. So yes, we hope to make it sustainable, at the same time preserve this goal of making it accessible to all.
I think, can I add to that a little bit? I just think that the other thing is our organization is called the Temple of Fine Arts, and I think our founder had thought about this, maybe foresight. He had, I think the word religion today is not a nice word. We have a lot of problems. The arts, actually, if you practice and if you put it into and move people, it is bringing you closer to something higher than any organized religion would be
Absolutely.
Able to do. And I mean, I don't want to start a controversy, but all I'm saying is that I think artists are closer to the truth when they practice. And I think the Temple of Fine Arts is not a temple of some god. It's a temple of the arts.
Yeah.
So it's where we worship the arts. And because the arts is going to take you, evolve you in a different way. Of course, it's fun. It can be
exciting.
Exciting. It can be all kinds of things which you would not normally relate to a religion. But who said that it has to be, the other way?
A journey towards spirituality can be fun.
Yes.
Brilliant.
So I think that's what it is.
The Shantanan Festival of Arts 2015 kicks off on Friday, December 4th. It will run through till Sunday, December 6th. The first performance on each day begins at 10:30 in the morning. The last ends at about 11, so that's lots to see and soak in. Its program lists close to 50 events, and we barely scratched the surface today. And of course, as you guys mentioned, in the tradition of the Temple of Fine Arts, patrons of the festival acquire tickets on a pay-as-you-wish basis. But also because this year's festival serves as the launch of the organization's new charitable project, the Siva Center Dialysis and Medical Clinic, that's set to open in 2017. The Temple of Fine Arts is appealing to the public to donate generously. Thank you both very much for coming in today.
Thank you, Lynn.
I've been speaking with Kumar Kathagesu and Prakash Kandasamy from the Temple of Fine Arts. We have been discussing the Shantanan Festival of Arts 2015 that kicks off next weekend. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Allah Jane Mola Jane Allah jaane mola jaane Allah jaane mola jaane
ye jeeve main ni bhai
Allah jaane mola jaane Allah jaane mola jaane
ek sa hoya.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.